Hi, it's Jason.
And Christy.
And we're back with a deep dive about this week's writing, which was called All Alone, about loneliness.
I think a great place to start is to look at the quote that you included from John Tyrant, which is, attention is the most basic form of love. And so, can you just give us a little bit more juice to that one?
I always love that quote because I don't think we think about our attention this way, you know, but it's really true. It's like we show up for work. We show up for our children's play at school. We show up for a sporting event. I think people that we consider friends show up for us. And I always, you know, I always read John's quote from the place of more of a question for myself of how do I show up for me? You know, and we really can start to see the challenge that we have with self-love because the answer for most of us is we don't. You know, if we really kind of take an inventory of our lives, we don't have a lot of examples of places that we've made space where we actually show up for ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, and in the piece, I use the example of loving nature by just showing up for nature, of just sitting and watching a deer as we do, or a sunset, or admiring a tree or a flower. And I think we've created such a busy life that we don't have the opportunity to do that much, but even more important, to just sit with ourselves and to give our bless ourselves with that attention and that presence.
And that's one of those things that you talk about, an asset or however you would want to categorize it, but time and attention is one of those things that I think so many of us feel short on. So I like this premise of actually, like, one of the most amazing ways we can honor one another and love each other is just simply by giving our attention.
Yeah, it's that idea of just being there, right? You know, it's like sometimes we worry, do we have the perfect words, or do we have the perfect gift, or can I do the perfect thing? And really, so much of the beauty of the way that we can connect with each other and with ourselves is just kind of silently being there, you know?
That makes it feel so easy, so tangible.
I think that's the doable part, right? Mm-hmm. It's the part where there's no rules, there's nothing to sell or buy. There's just this simple presence of, you matter to me, and so I show up for you. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's a beautiful gift that we can understand giving to each other. And then I think there's the twist that says, then can we do the same for ourselves?
And that's what you're talking about when you're talking about loneliness as a theme and the story that's played through your life. And I think it's really interesting is that the theme, the song keeps playing. And I thought it was super funny, like Achy Breaky
Heart. Or Ice Baby.
Which is like from our era, so classic, we can relate. Like the songs we don't really like, but they keep humming them anyway. But that, the even in the face of all this love, all of this beauty, that song is still playing and that loneliness is still there and it doesn't necessarily go away.
Yeah, I think that's really important for two reasons. One, I think it's a necessary thing to remember that we're not engaged in this practice to push away our feelings. And when we think about ourselves as adults and the feelings as the feelings of an adult, it's a little bit easier to be a little bit maybe colder, more callous with the feelings. So I think it's important to trace it back to the story, to its roots. And in my case, that's my little grandma, not my adult grandma, mm-hmm. right? That's the little girl whose mommy was killed and whose dad cared more about drinking on the bar stool than coming home to take care of his kids. And the little girl that the state showed up at her house and separated her from her brothers and sisters. And in a matter of 30 days, my grandma went from having a loving family to being all alone on an orphanage floor. Mm-hmm. And like when we see the loneliness from that vantage point, we just want to hold it. You know, we just want to embrace it. And I think if we don't separate the feeling from the person, but we allow the feeling to be personified, the feeling to be my little grandma, or later in life, my mother, who my grandma was unable to hold. My mom, who always wanted to be loved, and my grandma didn't have it in her to give her that love.
So as grown-ups, what you're saying is, it's easy to be hard on each other or hard on ourselves, like we should know better, like, come on, get yourself together. But when you go back to your childhood, it brings up a little bit more innocence, and your heart can open a little bit wider.
And I think we can really see it for what it is, the longing of a child to be loved, which is the genesis of all of these feelings that we have. And then I think it's important to remember also, when we trace the story back, we start to kind of get the magnitude of the story in our life. Mm-hmm. So we can actually laugh at ourselves, and we think, I'm going to sit down and meditate 2 times and the loneliness is going to disappear. And I wanted to be honest that, no, I'm on, you know, however many years now of this journey, and the loneliness is there.
You still hear that song.
Because it's been there for generations. Mm-hmm. And so instead of going, get out of here, I think the real opportunity is to put my arms around my scared little grandma, and put my arms around my lonely little mom, and put my arms around the part of me that trembles inside, and hold that. And then I think that's the opportunity where maybe we start to see the loneliness dissipate, because we finally gave ourselves and the generational story what it's been craving, which was just a little bit of tender love.
And really comes back to attention. That's what you're talking about. Because you explored a little bit, you know, the cure for loneliness. We try all these things desperately. And sometimes I think we're not even aware that perhaps we're doing these things as a way to cure our loneliness or cure our desire for love. But nonetheless, the cure for loneliness is rarely found in accomplishments, people, or things. And use that example of Taylor Swift.
Yeah. And I thought, I read this article, and I think there's a reading of the article that says, you know, what a motivated young woman. I think that's probably true. But I really read it as, you know, really the artist of our time, right? The artist that will look back, that will define this period of time, has just won every award and accomplished everything there is to do in music. And she felt she lost the Grammy. Mm-hmm. And then instead of finding a place where it was like, well, hey, there's a bunch of great art, and how do you judge art anyways?
Yeah, like maybe it's stupid that we're judging art.
Yeah, she actually found the message for her was, I wasn't good enough. My album wasn't the best. And then the solution, which I think so many of us can relate to, is to push away all of the help and say, I'm going to put this one on my back, and I'm going to go make myself perfect.
Yeah, let me lock myself in the recording studio and try a little harder.
Yeah, and I think let me lock myself in my office and try a little bit harder, as you and I have both been single parents in our lives. Mm-hmm. Let me just load all this on my back, and I'm going to be the super parent who's going to drive all of these ways in which we take these challenges, and then we put it all on our back. And often we think the solution, like I said, is found through people and stuff. Like, I'm lonely, so if only I had a party to go to, or I could throw a party, or I'm lonely, so if I could buy a new pair of shoes or a car
or a new relationship.
Mm-hmm. But because, again, if we look at it from the point of view of this generational story, more stuff and more people is not curing little Grandma June's pain on the floor of the orphanage. Mm-hmm. She just needs love. Mm-hmm. And so the answer that I found is to just keep giving ourselves love. It's like, we're not looking for more people or stuff. We're looking for more love from ourselves. And that really, in there, we find the cure, if you want to call it a cure.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you brought in the role of meditation. The meditation is how, in the midst of the chaos of life, we say, I love you, to ourselves. Mm.
I love that. You know, that's funny. I mean, I hate to say that about my own writing, but I don't mean that about my words. I mean it. I mean, I love looking at meditation, because I think we're a driven people. Mm-hmm. And so when we hear meditation is about achieving peace, quiet mind, stillness, enlightenment, they become these lofty goals that then, which is one more thing we're trying to do in our lives, you know? And I think, you know, and I think there's a separation perhaps from maybe classic teaching on what some of this stuff is, and then looking at it in how does it actually play into my life,
right,
and into the life of the society in which I live. And I think meditation really becomes this opportunity for us to show up for us. It's that place in each morning where we get up and we say, I'm going to place my attention on my scared heart, on my lonely heart, on my pain, on my breath, on my inspiration, on my love, on my joy. And I'm just going to be there for me. And it's, you know, we have this concept that maybe that's selfish, but when we look at it from the point of view of we can't share what we don't possess, filling ourselves with self-love becomes the greatest act of benevolence towards the world that we can imagine. If I through my own meditation and through my own presence can fill up the story of my grandma, my mom, myself with a little bit of love, I have such an awesome opportunity then to show up loving in the world. And I think when we look at meditation like that, all the rules fly out the window, all the expectations, and it's just you sitting with you. Mm-hmm. Whatever happens, just show up. Your mind is racing. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got some negative thoughts. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Love them. Hug them. Just be there with yourself. Be your best friend. And I think through that, I've found that the loneliness just kind of fades into the background, you know, and it's replaced with this sense of I'm okay. And how do I know? Because I show up for myself every morning.
That's what I love, because you talk a lot and write a lot about self-love. Mm. And let's love ourselves. And I think perhaps for a lot of people, it's like, where do I even start with that? That sounds like really scary and daunting. Like, how do I possibly love myself? Yeah. What I love about what you're saying is, if we come full circle to how we started this conversation, it's just as simple as taking that attention and putting it on ourselves. Like, it makes meditation, the rules for meditation, so easy to be a success.
Yeah.
Because if I'm here with myself and I'm taking my precious attention and putting it on myself, that is self-love.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And it's simple, and yet the doing of it is hard because we're just not trained. You know, as little kids, we were told repeatedly, don't just sit there. Mm-hmm. Go out and do something. Mm-hmm. We're told, go out and help somebody. Like, the idea of sitting alone with ourselves is an easy thing to say, and then we find when we do it that all kinds of things come up. And I think it's why we then feel like, oh, I can't achieve that quiet mind that I think meditation's supposed to be. And that's why if we shift the intention just a little bit from achieving quiet mind to being there for myself, when all these things come up, I realize, oh, my job is to love myself. My job is to be there with that stuff that's coming up, because that stuff is me. Or we can look at it broader. That stuff is my family story that I now have an opportunity to heal by just being present in this moment with myself.
Mm, and if you bump into a little loneliness, you know, it's just an old song that's playing.
That's right. And we hug it. Beautiful. And we love it. And we love ourselves.
That's beautiful. Mm.
Thank you very much, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
See ya.